Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. My name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the host and founder of the Rise Above Justice Movement and the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. Today, I will give a viewer discretion as advised due to the nature of the topics that we'll be talking about. Today, I am joined by the legendary, and I'm gonna get shit about this, the legendary Coach Mia Renee. Welcome to the podcast, my friend. I'm so excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here too.
I think it's going to be legendary,
I mean,
but
the verdict is still out on the legendary part, but you know what? I'll take it. I appreciate it. I love that. It gives me the energy that I need. It feels really good to hear that. But
my
yeah, I think
friend,
I'm on a Legends podcast, though.
Whenever we first connected, I was like, okay, this person has this beautiful aesthetic, beautiful human being. And then I heard your story and it confirmed my suspicion. I was like, this is definitely somebody who I can talk to if I'm feeling, any type of way, which I have. You and I text pretty
Yeah.
regularly,
I
and
love that
I'll
you reach out to me when very significant things happen in my community. It makes me feel really good knowing that, like, I have an ally that's actually an ally that doesn't pretend to be an ally and is actually an ally. Yeah, and we text each other. I see some of the stuff that you post, and I'm like, hey, are you okay? Like, do you need anything? And like, you do the same thing. And so, we've been building on that relationship, and I think that it's beautiful, especially with everything that the shit show that is the America right now. We need that community as much as we can get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you beyond belief. Now, again, I want to give a viewer discretion as advice due to the nature of the topics that we'll be discussing. Naya is a part of our movement, but also, does her own thing. And also, it's just, how to love a battered woman goes very deep and it runs very deep. My mom is a survivor as well. She is a battered woman. And I grew up around an alcoholic stepfather, and I saw how the systems failed my mom. I saw how they failed me. I saw how they failed my community members. And oftentimes we hear that a system is broken, but at least that question of how can a system be broken when it's all by design.
It's working exactly the way that it was designed to.
And I mean, look at the cases that's going on across the United States with like sexual assault, domestic violence. I think about Veronica Rodriguez. I think about, oh God, there's,
Cassie Ventura.
yes. And I think about that. And then also like Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey
Yeah, Jeffrey
Epstein.
Epstein.
And, we have these, even though that they've all been convicted, Jeffrey Epstein, quote unquote, died by suicide, and I'd say that very like
Allegedly.
I say that very lightly because I do not believe so, and I
Yeah.
think that's a common theme
Belief.
across like our communities.
Yeah.
But we have people like Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein that are like our everyday people just driving around. They could be your next door neighbor. They can be
Yep.
your they, you think someone,
Yeah.
you think someone. They could be that next Jeffrey Epstein. Because
Yeah.
what, and then it's a surprise when you see him on the headlines, like, oh, we see like this pastor, this local church has raped 13 people. Like,
It's happening every single day, everywhere, and
our
it's terrifying.
communities, yes, exactly. Our communities have this thing, oh, it'll never happen here.
Yeah.
We think about these white picket fences, we think about that quote unquote American dream. Which I've never seen the American dream, and I say that
Nope.
as a white suburban person. My mom's never seen that American dream. I did not grow up in this big house, and we had these true like religious values, and we had this white picket fence. Fuck all of that.
Yeah.
I it, the American dream is dead
Yeah.
because until we recognize that our marginalized communities deserve the same thing as these politicians that are in Washington, D.C. The quicker we realize that they do not give a single fuck about us, the
Yep.
better off we will be.
Yeah, they don't
And
give a shit.
to anybody who's listening, I know you've listened to other episodes. This is an unhinged, unedited podcast. So if you're listening beyond this point,
Good luck.
it's going to get worse. But it really is, because I grew up thinking that the American dream was, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have a kid, and you have a pet. You know,
And a dog. Yep.
you pet, like, it's like this perfect picture.
Yeah.
However, I grew up in a household with a battered woman as a mother, and I adore her beyond belief. I love her. She is my rock. She is my everything. She knows that. I did have a stepfather in the household. However, was he really there? Because he's an alcoholic. He was verbally, mentally, and physically abusive. My mom would go to work. I would be at home with him. I'd come home from school, or it'd be a weekend. My mom would be at work, and she would come home, and I had bruises. And she's like, "Well, where the hell did that come from?" I was like, "Well, look at who you're married to." And I never blamed her, because I know what she wanted. She wanted me to have a father, because my biological father was absent. He wasn't anywhere around. And come to find out, just this year alone, I did a Department of Corrections search, and I found my biological father. He's incarcerated in Missouri, where I grew up. So you can imagine, like, that thought process in my head. I was like, okay, it makes sense, because he hasn't been around for 29 years. He's not going to be around for the next 29 years. He's probably going to die in prison. He's like in like the 60s now. Like, he's probably going to die in prison. And I have always thought, like, how do I? There hasn't been a moment in my life that I was like, what if he would have been there? What if I would have actually had a father figure? Would I have went through what I went through? My stepfather pretended like he gave a fuck, but we know damn good well he doesn't. And I don't give a damn if he's listening to this either. I don't care. It's nothing that people don't know about, except for his corrupt fucking family that he labels as family. But they're nothing but fucking stuck up. Anyway, without that, I would love to just have you introduce yourself, the work that you do, what got you into the work that you're doing. I know this is a very loaded question. Feel free to break it up in
Yeah,
parts,
of course.
but feel free to ramble, my friends. The floor is yours. I've spoken enough. People don't want to hear my voice, but
I do.
thank you. We appreciate that. But feel free to walk us through your journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Coach Nia Renee. I am a certified life and relationship coach. I am also a trauma-informed leadership speaker. So I go into organizations and I work with them to understand how empathy in the workplace is needed and why it's important. But then I also work with narcissistic abuse survivors and I help them build break free from emotional wounds and build thriving relationships deep-rooted in self-trust and intention. And how I found myself sort of where I am now is that I grew up in a very violent, very abusive, very sexually abusive environment by my mom, my brother, my sister, my grandmother. And I'm still kind of diving through that now. It's still kind of unfolding right now, a little bit of my story. And I grew up just in a crazy environment, and then I went on to getting into several abusive relationships, and those abusive relationships kind of really took precedent in my life, and I didn't understand how I continuously fell for people that were very similar to each other. And I went to therapy after my final abusive relationship that I was in 2019, and I saw my therapist and I realized that I was getting into different relationships with my mother. I was in different relationships with different versions of my mom. And once I was able to make those sort of parallels in my relationships and realize in my relationships what was happening, I then was able to sort of break free from those cycles of abuse and get on the path to healing. And then while I was with my abusive ex, I started How to Love a Battered Woman because I was literally trying to teach my ex how to love someone who had been through significant trauma, had endured significant amount of pain at the level at which I had experienced my whole entire life. And I didn't realize that I was creating a blueprint for my abuser to learn how to love me. And I realized one night as I was laying in bed next to someone who genuinely just didn't like me. And when you realize that the person that you're with just doesn't like you, it kind of changes your perspective and your view on life and relationships. And so I left. I took my business with me, my dog, my business, my shit, and I left. And I am where I am now. I went through, years of, and I still am in therapy and EMDR therapy, which is eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which helps process the body. The body helps the body process the trauma at which it was inflicted upon. And so I've spent several years doing that type of therapy and really just working on my healing journey and moving forward. And then I got into coaching because I was sharing my story on social media. And so many people were asking me, like, well, do you do coaching? Do you offer coaching? And so I wanted to have some credentialing behind me. So I went and I got two different coaching certifications. And then I started helping narcissistic abuse survivors. And then I was laid off from my job about a year ago. And I decided to take my coaching business full time. So now I'm a full-time coach, consultant, leadership trainer, and narcissistic abuse recovery coach.
And you also forgot the fucking legendary person that you are and the way that you
Duh.
speak. So don't sell yourself short, my friend, because.
I mean, I am an author and I am a motivational speaker, keynote speaker. I just do a lot of talking. I do a lot of yapping. I'm a professional yapper. That's what I am.
You know what? Me too. And I'm damn proud of it. That's a certification that you don't have to work very hard for. You just got to kind of
True.
like. You just
True.
have to have a story and have these experiences that craft, your narrative about who you are, because it's your narrative. I joke about my own trauma, and people look at me as insensitive. They're like, "Oh, I can't believe you joke about your own rape. You joke about this. You joke about that." It's like I'm joking about myself here.
Yeah.
I would never say,
There's no way I could get through it without tossing in a joke.
"Yeah, absolutely," because these are very deep, dark subjects,
Yeah.
and. Whenever we talk about it, it gets uncomfortable, right? Because there are times that I sometimes do trigger myself. I've come to realize that, but I also know how to get out of that part. Not everybody's at the same level of healing. I want to be, fully upfront about that. Not everybody's at the same level,
Right.
nor are they expected to be, nor do they have to be. Because as I've said, and I'm going to turn this into a graphic, but as I've said, healing is not linear. It is complex because it looks different for each person. But what have worked for you may not have worked for me. What worked for me may not have worked for you or the next person, next person, next person. And October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I want to jump into, your LLC, which is How to Love a Battered Woman, is your LLC. Can you walk us through what led you to creating this LLC? You mentioned about being an author. What's your book about? Walk us through, and I know this is going to be a deep dive, and I'm excited about it because I'm excited to learn more about your story. Like, I know the CliffsNotes version, but I know there's a lot more to it because you have the story that I know is going to resonate. And for those who are listening, the Rise Above Justice Movement, which is a grassroots movement of sexual and gender-based violence survivors. I'm not backed by a corporation. I'm not backed by billionaires. It is purely grassroots, survivor-led and survivor-focused. But we are sponsoring a upcoming panel with Coach Naya Renee that is going to take place later this
Naya
month.
Renee, silly.
Oh, damn. Did I say that?
You did. It's all good.
Son of a bitch. I am so sorry. my brain's going in 40 different directions,
Yes,
but
it's okay.
thank you for that. But we're sponsoring your upcoming panel, so feel free to talk about that as well.
Yes, I'm so excited.
But let's jump into how to love a battered woman and what that means, what it looks like, and how, like, why the male allyship is so incredibly important.
Well, men in general are just, no offense to men, but men are a little strange, I would say, in today's political climate. Not political climate, just in today's climate in general. But it is important to have the male allyship because women are already facing so much. And when you sit back and you take a look at what's happening to women specifically, how as a man can you say that this shit is okay? Like, there has to be some level of accountability. There has to be some level of acknowledgement, and we're not seeing it. But it's important to have. And that's why I love that our platforms have connected with each other, because you guys always amplify the voices of women. You guys always amplify the voices of what is happening in marginalized communities. And I love that you guys platform that. And that's one of the biggest parts of why I wanted to collab with you guys. And I'm really glad that you guys are sponsoring my Domestic Violence Awareness Month event, which is called Battered Hearts Rising. And they will be speaking at it. So I'm very excited for that event with kind of an all-star lineup, if we're being honest. I mean, we have Lee Hammack, the diagnosed narcissist, like the largest narc talk creator on TikTok. We have Lisa Sunny with Stronger Than Before, who's probably one of the single-handedly the most amazing women I've ever met in my entire life. And we have some local sponsors from the Burleson Police Department. They're going to come on, and I'm really excited about their Love Shouldn't Hurt campaign that they've been running around locally out here in Fort Worth, Texas. And then we also have another local group that is a women's center that helps women who are trying to decide what they want to do, when they find themselves with child. And so I think it's great that we have all of these organizations coming together for one really big cause because, and when we look at my story, I know we talked a little bit about this kind of off camera, but because we wanted to talk about the pre-trauma, and I'm like, I don't have anything that's pre-trauma. Like, my whole story is trauma from probably the age of one till recently. And so when we look at domestic violence, we don't really talk about childhood trauma a lot. Child abuse is labeled under domestic violence, and I don't think many people realize that. Did you know that?
I think whenever you state that that's not covered nearly enough, I think you're absolutely correct. I know that, but does anybody else that is listening, do they understand that the childhood trauma leads into adulthood? Adulthood leads into,
So many things.
leads into a lot of other things, because oftentimes, and I've noticed this, like what I experienced as a child, with like I mentioned, like alcoholic stepfather and my mom, going through what she went through at a younger age. I realize the older that I get, the more that pattern continues to repeat. And I'm seeing that. And which is why I sat down and interviewed Priscilla, also known as the Cycle Breaker Coach on social media. She said it best whenever she said it's up to us to break those cycles, but it's also up to society to recognize those cycles and better itself too. Now, she said it best, and it's kind of along those lines. And if she's listening, which I know she does, but she can explain it better than I can, because I'm not a certified coach. I'm not certified in
But you don't have to be.
But you don't have to be to recognize this ongoing epidemic. You don't have to have a degree to recognize it. You don't have to have these certifications to recognize it.
But
You
you
just
do
have,
have to have empathy to recognize it.
yes. And here's something that I would love for you to talk about for a second. Now, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy towards survivors, right? So empathy, what does empathy mean to you? And then we'll jump into sympathy and what does sympathy look like? You know what I mean? Like,
Empathy is just having that like care for someone else. Like you may not understand their story, you may not understand what they've gone through, you may not have gone through that yourself, but having the ability to show some compassion, some understanding, and some care, and giving them the space to acknowledge what they might be going through is so important. And having that humanizing factor of it, of instead of dehumanizing a person, humanizing them and understanding that we're all human beings, and we go through things. And empathy, there's a huge lack of empathy right now. A huge, huge lack of empathy.
And that runs deep, you know, and that's been something that's been going on for decades, decades, and decades, and centuries. Because if we think back to, you know, like the 1940s, right? We think back even like beforehand, right? We think about how long these systems have really been in place, because these systems run deep. Because this is something that just happened overnight. This is something that's been the generational trauma and how complex it is so incredibly deep. And it runs rampant through our communities. So, you know, racism, homophobia, transphobia, like, you know, seeing disabled people as less than. My mom's disabled. You know, she's going through cancer treatment. She goes with rheumatoid arthritis. She has high blood pressure. You know, there's a lot of these like diagnoses, right? But also the generational trauma that she also, you know, inherited whenever she was born, like it continues going. And fortunately, she did break the cycle. She did. She absolutely did. Because she said, you know what? I have had enough. And I have never seen her come unglued like she did whenever there was a situation that happened a couple of years ago. And it was, oof, I have never seen her do that. Now, there have been times that she stood up to me. I mean, she's the same person that also literally put the front door through the front door. Imagine like this like steel door literally going through the front door. That's how pissed off she was at me. But I was also going through drug addiction at that time, and I was very defiant, and I blamed everything that I experienced on her because I didn't understand it. I was still growing up. I was still very young at that point. But the more I look back at it now, it's like we have grown so incredibly closer. And, you know, I've made up for a lot of those lost times that me and her did not have. Now, has she always been very supportive of me? No. However, it wasn't coming from her. It was coming from my narcissistic, abusive, alcoholic stepfather that filled her head with so many hateful things about me and had her believing that. Because I know that I was not easy to raise. I know that. But at the same time, like, do I blame myself because I didn't have that male, quote unquote, that male role model in my life? No, I'll never blame myself because I know it wasn't me. I was failed. And this person literally adopted me, was supposed to raise me, because whenever you sign those adoption papers, that's a lifelong commitment. Where is he at now? I have no fucking idea. He's in Arizona somewhere, supposedly, that we know of. And it's just
Hey,
like,
so is my mom.
I
She's
just.
somewhere in some r retirement community in Arizona in like a 600 square foot trailer home. And I'm
Oh
like,
my
good.
God, what if they're neighbors?
That would be amazing. I love that for them. They deserve that so fucking much. Like, I love that for them. Like, maybe they'll get married.
Oh, I doubt it because the woman that he's with now, he claimed that he should have married. Like he told us that. Like he should, and I don't know if you can hear my mom's commentary in the background. For anybody who knows, my mom, you know, I record these
Shout
in
out to
literally
mom.
where she lives at. And she adds some commentary into certain things, but I don't think anybody can hear it in the background. But she's like, where he fucking should be. But
True. True that.
I I think, honestly, I think this movement and this podcast has really opened my eyes a lot to the ongoing issues. And I just gotta say, like, we as a community are rising up stronger than ever. And I don't know if you're feeling that, but I'm definitely feeling it because I can go on social media, and this will be the next question that I have for you. Meta likes to censor our voices. But what I've noticed is Threads, on the other hand, I can go on and I can say, fuck this, fuck that, fuck this, fuck that, and I don't get censored. If I do that on Facebook or Instagram, I notice that our reach drops. And we have 220, 200, almost 223,000 followers on our social media. But I've noticed, and I plan on like creating a graphic about this and kind of like showcasing this, because I keep track of our reach. I keep track of like, how many people follow us, how many people unfollow us. I have a spreadsheet that I use and I keep track of all of that. And over the last couple months since January, I've noticed that our reach has gone like way down. We were at like 100 million person reach. Okay. Now we're at a little over 8 million. If even that, it has literally dropped so incredibly much. Now, you would think with having 220 something thousand followers on social media, like across all of our social media platforms, mainly being Instagram, you would think that that reach would be so astronomically high because, we're sharing these high profile stories. We interviewed Jess Michaels, who's a 1991 Jeffrey Epstein survivor, but it suppressed those posts and it suppressed those voices. Now, we have been getting a little bit of traction. We're starting to get that back. I'm starting to get traction on Threads because Threads is a different space, still owned by a Meta platform. I understand that. I want to recognize that. But what's been your experience on social media and what are you seeing in the age of censorship and the age of downplaying domestic violence, as our president stated, that a spatter between a wife and a man shouldn't be prosecuted because that's supposed to happen? Excuse me? Excuse me? Spoken like a true fucking narcissist, right?
I absolutely agree. I think I've experienced some amazing things on Threads. Threads is where I just go and I just dump whatever's in my brain and I can just say whatever I want without censorship and just like kind of built I've built my community that way. Like I've shared some very deep parts of my story. My reach has dropped. I was at 4 million. I'm looking right now. I was at 4.4 million views in the last 30 days. Now I'm at 2.6 mil. But like, it has my reach has dropped a little bit. But that's also because I just haven't really been posting as much, because I've been traveling this last week. But I will be back to being a menace on Threads. So count your days, and take that threat, and take that as a threat if you'd like. Count your days, Threads. I'm on my way back. But I have noticed that there is a lot of support, especially when I, because I'm constantly like, there isn't, there might be a day or two that I miss saying like release the Epstein files, but those are like my highest reached, posts because we need the Epstein files released. Like, what the fuck is taking so long? We know what's taking so long. We know what the issue is, but at the same time, I'm never going to be quiet about it until they're released because they need to be released. Like we need the public needs to know that the president of the United States is who we say he is. And it's disgusting and disturbing and incredibly. I don't know if you follow this page. I think it's the I've Had It podcast. And they call him Kinks McTits or something like that. And it just sends me to another orbit.
So I'm gonna pause you right there. I absolutely love Jennifer Welch, the I've Had
I
It
love her.
podcast. They are the suburban wine moms that I absolutely love because they become unhinged. And keep in mind, they're from Oklahoma, right? So literally, my neighbors in Oklahoma is where Jennifer Welch is from. I don't know where Angie is from, but yes, I absolutely love the I've Had It podcast because they are exactly who we need to be hearing from right now. Like those are they have this very broad reach and they bring this comedic approach to it, which is what I also aim to do. And I know we've laughed a lot, but they bring this comedic approach to it that's so easy to digest, but it's also very real. And yes, but continue on. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I love Threads, and I'm currently looking at it right now, seeing the No Kings protest that's happening everywhere. My mom is not my birth mother, fuck that bitch, but my mother, the one that I call my mom, which is funny, actually, coincidentally, is her best friend, her ex-best friend. My mom's going out to protest today, and I'm like, Mom, please be safe. Like, I love it. I love it though. She's a old. She's like in her 70s, and she's a hippie, and she's like, she has like the peace symbol tattooed on her. Like she's a hippie for sure.
Oh, she's braided.
Yeah, she's branded. Yeah. So she's going out to protest today, but I love Threads. Threads is my place to where I talk shit. I express myself. I'm able to tell my parts of my story that I don't think that I get to tell on any other platform, because it would absolutely get it would either get suppressed, or I would get a content violation 100%, especially the things that I say and how explicitly I tell my story. But it's been freeing, because I feel like I've been able to tell my story in real time as I'm acknowledging a lot of the things that I've endured in my childhood. And it also gives other survivors a place to see that they can shed some of that weight that they've been carrying on their shoulders as well. So I think Threads is just one of my favorite places to be. So if y'all are on Threads and you see Coach Nia Renee acting up on Threads, just like it, share it, and move on, or don't.
And you know what? In the words of Ashley Banks, mind your business.
Mind your
I
business.
remember growing up watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, okay? I absolutely love Tatiana Ali. I absolutely love Karen Parsons, the one that played Hillary. I absolutely love James Avery. He played this conservative judge, and but he did it in such a, I don't even know how to explain it. He did it in such a different way that it just made entire sense. But then you look at the actual judge system, it's kind of like watching like Olivia Benson on TV, right?
Oh,
Do
I've been
not get me
rewatching
wrong.
SVU, mind you. I've been
Yes.
rewatching SVU, and oh my God. Can we talk about 90s Mariska Hargitay?
Can
What
I
a
just,
baddie.
can I tell you something? She was my first woman crush that I
She
ever
is a
had.
baddie. I was looking at her like, God, Sam Olivia Benson. 90s Olivia Benson. She had the short hair. She was not playing with folks. Like I have just been I've been wa well I've been rewatching it, mainly because so when I was in high school, and I kind of like segued out of your whole entire point, and I'm so sorry. But I was raped in high school, and so I Law and Order SVU was one of my favorite shows when I was. I mean, there's always an SVU marathon on. Like you could just go on. You can just go on cable to tape television right now and find an SVU marathon on. So I would constantly watch that show. But then I was raped in high school, and I couldn't watch the show anymore. And I remember it was like for like a year and a half. And then one time I just like was sitting in front of the TV, and it was just on. And I was just like, cool, like I can get with the vibes. And my dad like walks in, and he pauses, and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, yeah, why? And he was like, you haven't watched Law and Order SVU in a long time. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm good. And he goes, oh my God, you're making progress. And I was like, yeah, I'm coming back to myself. Like it was such a huge moment. So, but being able to watch those shows, first of all, it's insane the rhetoric that was thrown around in the 90s, the transphobia, the it's just the way that the environments at the time were like using terms like, and I never use this term in my life, I swear to God, I'm only using it for the example, but using the term transvestite. There were some episodes, Zachary, that I skipped. I was like, I can't watch it. I can't listen to the way that they talk about trans people. And it's just the way that the culture was back then. Like, obviously, things are more progressive now, for the most part, outside of the incredibly transphobic, and homophobic and LGBTQIA phobic, fucking presidency that we have, administration that we have right now. The rhetoric has really changed, but it was really hard to watch some of those episodes and hearing how they talked about transgender people, and just seeing how 20 years ago was so incredibly difficult, different than how it is today. But yeah, 90s Mariska Hargitay. Ooh, 90s and early 20s or early 2000s. Girl.
Now, no, yeah, you said it best. Now, I think about growing up watching Mariska Hargitay on TV. Oh my God. I
What a
remember
powerhouse.
thinking, I remember thinking, this woman is absolutely stunning,
Yeah.
absolutely gorgeous. And she still is. Oh my God. She is stunning. Like I said, she was my first woman crush, and she always will be. And I learned about
Love that
her
for you.
and learned about her mom. And me and my mom sat down and watched the recent
Her
Jane Lynch.
documentary.
Oh my
I
God,
haven't gotten a
yes.
chance to watch it yet.
I cried the entire time because she has such a deeply impactful story that I think really hits. Now, I also learned about her being the founder of the Joyful Heart Foundation. And it's like, okay, so she plays this badass on TV, but she's really just an all-around badass human being in general. And then I also realized who her husband, Peter Herman, was actually one of the other co-stars on SVU on the earlier seasons. I think he played like a defense attorney, or he played like a prosecutor or something. I think it was a defense attorney. And do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Oh, Lord. What was his name on that show? I cannot think of it,
Yeah, let me
but
see if I've watched it already. Her husband's name is what?
Peter Herman is what her husband's name is, and he was one of the defense
Oh, that's her
attorneys.
husband. Oh, that man
Yes.
is fine. I see you, Mariska.
But I didn't realize that until I started researching, and I was like, oh, that's her husband? That makes entire sense.
He was on
And
Suits.
they
Oh, I
really
missed
couldn't
it.
stand each other on the show. You know,
Oh, they
they
couldn't.
no. Like, if you look back at some of those episodes, like the way that they talk to each other is like astronomically hateful, which I know
Season
has to
three,
be.
episode 11. I must have missed that episode.
Yeah, there's a couple episodes that he pops in, and or that might be the only one. I know that there might be, I think there's a couple of them.
Attorney when she gets
But there is a episode where I believe she's like either kidnapped or something, and he was her attorney. And it was really interesting to sit and watch that. I can't imagine playing next to my actual spouse on
Yeah, that would be.
TV.
Listen, so I was in a movie earlier this year, not to flex or
Ooh.
anything, but just to know, just so y'all know, there's a movie coming out that I'm in. It's called I Love You, My Narcissist. It's coming out, I believe, next year. It's so weird. When you have a significant other in real life and you have, but you have a significant other on screen.
You know what? In actuality, is it really that different though?
It's weird because I felt like I was cheating on my significant other on TV, I mean, on screen, when I would go at night and talk to my husband on the phone. And we would talk and we would have these moments and, you know, because I had to be. What I had to be a certain way with my co-star when my husband wasn't around because we didn't have, mind you, I'm flying from fucking the United States to Germany to go be with a German actor that I've never met a day in my life outside of Zoom. And so we have a small amount of time to build up our chemistry with each other before we're on camera. So I felt like I was cheating on him when I was talking to my husband. So it was a very weird dynamic because, like, I had to be a certain way with him because so we could have that chemistry on camera. And it was just, it's weird having a safe space that wasn't my husband because I had built up this whole safe space with my husband for years of our relationship together, of him being my safe space. And so then I would have these conversations with my co-star and we would get to know each other and we would talk about certain things. And then he became my safe space on set. So it was just really, it was a weird dynamic. I don't know how to explain it, but and so when you brought that up about Mariska and her husband playing, you know, on, you know, in scenes together, like it's a very interesting dynamic because you have to have a certain level, especially because we had intimate scenes with each other. We had to have a certain level of rapport with each other. So it was very interesting. It was a very interesting dynamic, but I can't wait to see how it comes across on camera. I'm so excited to see the movie.
Well, knowing anything that you do is legendary, so I imagine this is
Bet.
going to be nothing short of that. But hold on, wait a minute, wait. So you're building an IMDb profile too
Period.
now? Okay, bitch, I see
Period.
you.
I am. I absolutely am. She's out here, okay? I'm a jack of all trades,
Oh my
baby.
God. I'm excited. And you said it's called I Love You, My
I
Narcissist?
love you, my narcissist. Yeah, so you guys can check out their Instagram page. It's
Wow.
ILMN dot film, I believe. And so I'm supposed to be doing a podcast or something like that with them soon. I really have to connect with them because we're starting to do promo for the film now.
Yes.
And it's a docudrama, so it's gonna have Dr. Romney in it. It's gonna have Dr. Carrie McAvoy in it. It's gonna have
Oh.
Lisa Sunny with Stronger Than Before, who's also doing our event with us for Domestic
Ooh.
Violence Awareness Month. She's in it as an expert. And then it's a part documentary, part drama. Some of the hardest one some of the hardest like reliving that pain that I hadn't been in 11 years was very interesting. It was very, very interesting. Like there are certain, like the final scene that I filmed, I don't remember it. I still have like bits and pieces that are coming back to me, but my brain did so good at shielding me from reliving certain traumas. Like I won't give away the plot or like what won't give away what happened. Mainly because I'm on an NDA girl. But it just was very interesting reliving, excuse me. Reliving some of that physical violence I had not endured in a long time. And when I say my co-actor can act his ass off. Oh my God. I can't wait for y'all to see the movie. I cannot wait for you guys to see this movie. It's so I Love You, My Narcissist 2026. Keep eyes out for it.
Oh, we absolutely will be watching it, and we'll be giving a review, and y'all be
Oh,
like,
period.
I'll be shouting from the rooftops like, that's my friend.
I know her. That's my
It's
friend.
like, bitch, I knew you before.
Yeah, you did. You did. You really did. I love that I wanted to be a part of the movie, and I didn't think that I would be a part of the movie as an actress, but I had reached out and they were like, "Yeah, let's hop on a call." I was like, "How can I support this movie? Like some of my friends are in this movie, like Dr. Carrie McAvoy and Lisa Sunny. I'm really close with them." And so and then obviously everybody knows who Dr. Romney is. Like if you don't know who Dr. Romney is, like we need to have a conversation. Like she is like the narcissist code breaker. Like she is an incredible doctor when it comes to talking about narcissism and narcissistic abuse. But I had reached out to them and I was like, "How can I support this movie? I love what you guys are doing." They're like, "Yeah, let's hop on a call and see how, you can better support the movie. We've filled all of the expert roles, but we'd still want to talk to you about, something," because they had seen my modeling and acting Instagram that I have tied to my page. And so when we got to the meeting, he was like, "Yeah, I was thinking about a supporting actress role. Like, we'll fly you out here to Germany, and like, this is your role, and like, this is what we want you to play, and we think you'd be perfect for it." And I was obsessed, and I fell in love with it. And so, I'm just hoping I did my character justice. And yeah, it's gonna be pretty baller, I think.
So you're gonna add actress to your resume.
Yes.
And this is gonna look absolutely incredible. This has been such a joy to sit down and learn more about you. Obviously, you have an open invite anytime you want to come on this podcast because
Yay.
we could sit and we could talk for hours.
We
But
really can.
there's so many things to talk about. And at some point I want to look at doing a series with you because I really want to talk about the narcissistic behavior and the history of it, and also just highlight the continue highlighting these issues that continue to run rampant through our communities. And I am deeply devastated about learning what's happening with the federal government right now. It's an absolute shit show of cutting funding from the Head Start programs, cutting funding from Medicaid. There's a lot of people not going to be receiving their food stamps, like millions of people not receiving their food stamps because the government can't get their head out of their ass and recognize that our communities are literally suffering. And Donald Trump only recognizes that top 1%. If you were outside of that top
He
1%,
does not give a fuck.
he does not give a single fuck.
Not one.
And this administration is one of the most incompetent administrations I've personally ever seen. Pam Bondi was the pre or was the I almost said president. God help us.
God, we would die.
She was the Attorney General of Florida from
Yep.
2011 to 2019,
The sweetheart deal.
and dropped the ball on Jeffrey Epstein, dropped
Yeah.
the ball on countless of sexual offenders,
But
and now
now looking back at that though, I feel like that
it
was
makes sense.
strategic. Yeah.
It makes sense. It makes absolute sense.
That was strategic.
And then you have Kash Patel, that's supposedly the FBI director, which he scares the shit out of me. Like,
He
just
is a terrifying human being.
I
There isn't a single thought behind that man's eyes.
no, literally, it's just blank space. I got a blank space, baby. Oh God, I'm not an artist. I'm not a musician. I'm not, any of that. So if anybody's listening, don't judge my singing skills
I
or
thought
that,
it was
or
beautiful.
the lack of. You're just saying that,
I thought it was beautiful.
domestic violence. Let's jump into this for a second.
Yeah.
Now, domestic violence runs deep as well. And I know there's a lot of complicity and silence whenever it comes to that. These police departments need some type of like actual training on what domestic violence is versus what just an argument is. And sometimes they come in guns blazing into these domestic violence situations. I've seen that a lot. Now, also recognizing they don't know what they're walking into, I totally understand that. And I understand that perspective. One of my good friends is a former police officer in Kansas City, and now she works at like a nonprofit organization working with survivors and people that are marginalized, but she's a part of the LGBTQ plus community herself, just like me and countless of others that I interact with and I collaborate with. But even she said, yeah, no, we go through like this very minimal training on like de-escalation and very minimal training on domestic violence awareness and recognizing different signs. Now, I will tell you that Kansas City, and like I said, I grew up in the Kansas City metro area. So my home county of Jackson County, there is a new prosecuting attorney that was elected last year during the 2024 election. And she has come in and she has shifted things to recognize survivors and recognize their voices. And she's doing such an incredible job. And people literally did not understand that because she doesn't have trial experience, that's actually a good thing that she doesn't have trial experience because she doesn't know anybody in the systems. Therefore, they cannot shift her thinking. And I think that's a good thing to have. But we have a domestic violence court in Kansas City. It was created a couple years ago. And there is a specific judge by the name of Courtney Watchell, I think is how you say her last name. But she sees upwards of 200 cases per day, just in the domestic violence court alone. 19 of the latest homicides in Kansas City just from this year are domestic violence related. But now, this prosecuting attorney that I was just talking about, she created a domestic violence case tracker that I think is incredible because we see 9 years worth of data and we see this ongoing epidemic and this ongoing trend of domestic violence in Kansas City. I think it's incredible to recognize that and to understand the true complexity of this actual issue because it's so intersectional that people don't recognize how intersectional it really is and how it ties into domestic violence and it ties into narcissism and it ties into sexual abuse and those generational traumas, poverty, being unhoused, the holidays. We're getting really close to the
Yeah.
holidays where these trends continue to go upward.
Yeah, it's gonna get
So,
it's
what
gonna get worse.
in your work, with How to Love a Better Woman and whenever you're speaking and on social media, what do you see the conversation being right now? And how can we shift the conversation to focus on this even heavier and even more? Because this is an ongoing issue that people are sleeping on. They're not paying attention to what's happening right now because they're relying on the mainstream media to tell these stories. However, you have a podcast like mine that's interviewing these people, yet the
Right.
mainstream media will not cover the work that I am
Right.
doing.
Right. I think the mainstream media is a big part of the problem right now, and I think that they're trying to cover up a lot of what's going on, and that's why I heavily rely on social media and following pages like you and other creators that are talking about the hard-hitting stuff that people aren't talking about. And I think that it's important that we continue to amplify these voices because the more we talk about it, the more it gets out there. I think it's important that we rely on people like Aaron Parnas, who object doesn't objectively I mean, objectively gives the news and what's going on in an almost apolitical way, but it is actually calling out the bullshit that's going on in the administration and all of the things that we are enduring as a country. And I think that it's important that we continue to speak up and speak out. And I think that's why, like we talked about this off camera a little bit, my dad is like pleading with me to not speak about these things. And it's like I have a obligation to my community and to the people that follow me to show them that I'm not going to be standing with an administration that doesn't give a shit about our rights, whether that's LGBTQ rights, that I'm a part of the LGBTQ community, whether that's people that have disabilities because I am disabled, whether that is Black women that are being heavily removed from the workforce right now. There have been over 500,000 Black women that have been removed from the workforce since January, whether they have been laid off, fired, or asked to resign from their positions. They have been removed from the workforce. I'm a Black woman that's been a part of that since August of last year. And then on top of that, women's rights. When you look at what's happening to women's rights being gutted, when we talk about abortion, that is actually health care for women. Women can't get abortions if their fetus passes, the fetus dies within their body, and they can't get the help that they deserve. Like, all of this is actually a huge problem that needs to continuously be amplified, and I will never shut the fuck up about it. I don't give a damn what I lose in the process. I don't care if I lose companies that don't want to work with me. I don't care if I lose people that don't want to work with me because of that. That means that we're not aligned in our belief system, and I don't want to be a part of something that we're not aligned on. And I think that it's important that we continue to follow the pages and the people that are showing up and speaking out. We have Keandria. We have let me just Rayshonda. We have Lee Hammack. We have Aaron Parnas. Still We Rise. There's so many people. My Voice, My Choice org. I mean, Jolly Good Ginger has been out fighting the good fight for such a long time. He's been in DC on the streets with the veterans every single day. The Conscious Lee is continuously talking about what's going on. So I think it's like we continue to, amplify the voices of the people that really deserve to be heard. I think that's where the change is going to take place. And the mainstream media is not going to be our friends. They're not going to be the ones, because they're the ones that are too afraid of losing their paychecks. Jimmy Fallon, not Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel. Was it Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel. When you look at that whole situation, and the people are looking, they're afraid of losing, but we're losing our First Amendment rights. So what the fuck are we going to do? So we have to continue to follow pages like Rise Above Justice Movement. We have to continue following pages like yours. We have to continue supporting and following creators like myself. We have to continue to support and follow the people that are really doing the hard-hitting work and are not going to stop talking about the injustices that we are experiencing, because domestic violence is only going to continue to increase when you have the rhetoric that men are supposed to be the ones that are taken care of and pampered and treated and loved and cared for, or whatever the traditional household roles bullshit that is in communication. It's disturbing. And as we, like you said, as we ramp up to go into the holidays, we're going to continuously see domestic violence increase and increase and increase and increase and increase. And it's being celebrated by this administration, and it's abhorrent and it's disgusting. That's how I feel about it.
I grew up hearing boys will be boys.
Oh, I'm so tired of that bullshit.
That's what I
Boys will be the boys
learned.
that you teach them to be.
Ooh, you just said something very valuable. Can you repeat that for the louder for the people in the back that are not
Yeah.
listening? Can you say that one more time for me?
Let me thread it while I'm at it. Boys will be the boys that you teach them.
Facts. Absolute facts. I'm going to tell my mom this in real time. Mom, boys will be boys that you teach them to be. And that is an absolute fact. Now, I changed that by saying boys will be held accountable for their action, because as boys will be boys, bullshit needs to go out the window. Because whenever a boy goes out and rapes a girl or rapes another boy or rapes whoever, whenever the system gives them a slap on their wrists because, oh, they're an all-star baseball player. I don't know if you saw that recent case, or, they're an all-star football player, or they're this or they're that. No, absolutely not. Everybody needs to be held accountable and held to the exact same standard, because if you let somebody else do that, they're going to be held accountable. Like me, I'm just a suburban, resident that lives in Kansas, in the Kansas City suburban area. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not backed by a corporation. I run a movement that's purely grassroots, volunteer-led. I do a podcast. I go out and I speak. Like speaking engagements, and I go talk to organizations about my story and what I experienced as a domestic violence, gun violence, sexual assault survivor. I use my voice, I give my platform to those who do not have it, and I utilize my platform to elevate what's happening in the world, not just in the United States, but also across the world, because there's a lot of things going on that does not get that attention, because you said it best, mainstream media is not going to save us. And they're not. Mainstream media is complicit in the silence. Like you said, look what's happening with Jimmy Kimmel, look what's happening with these other talk show hosts. They're removing them because they go against the status quo. Now, do I think Jimmy Kimmel is necessarily the best person? No, I do not. However, at the same time, freedom of speech is freedom of speech. And there's just a lot of things going on that is really irritating. And I, again, I go back and I see what happened to my mom whenever she was a child. Again, it goes to that boys will be being boys thing without going into it. It goes into that. But it goes deeper than just boys will be boys. It needs to be boys will be held accountable. And like you said, boys will be boys that you teach them to be. Now, it goes deep, right? Now, is there anything else that you wanted to share with people who may be listening that might be feeling some glimpse of hope just by hearing this conversation? Because this has been an absolute delight to sit down and talk to you, and which I'm actually standing at this very moment. But I'm just sitting on the edge of my seat just listening to you talk, because it gives me that energy and it gives me that drive to keep pushing forward, because I encounter people like you. I've talked to people like you that keep me grounded. And, as you said at the beginning of this, we'll text each other like, okay, you posted this. Are you doing okay? Are you feeling okay? Are you, you check in with me, I check in with you to make sure you're doing okay. But is there anything else you wanted to share with anybody out there who might be feeling the same way that we are, the same way my mom is, the same way countless of other people are feeling right now, with the lack of integrity and the lack of leadership in our government? Is there anything else that you would like to share with anybody to give that glimpse of hope?
Fuck this, fuck that, fuck them, don't give up. And
Yes.
I said that this I used those words very intentionally and very strategically. Fuck this, fuck that, fuck them, don't give up. Because at the end of the day, they want us to succumb to the things that they are putting us through. They want us to lose this fight. They want us to lose hope. They want us to lose this battle. And I was just scrolling through threads, and there are police officers that are marching in the No King's Day right now, in full uniform, marching with people right now. That's the type of shit we need to be doing. That's the type of shit we need to be seeing. We need to see ICE needs to get off their fucking asses and get off their Gestapo bullshit and fight back. We have to fight back. And it's scary, it's stressful, it's frustrating, it's terrifying. It is bone rattling, terrifying. It's bone chilling, terrifying to have to fight back against your government like this. But if you're feeling angry, fuel that, follow that, use your voice. Stand up, because if we're quiet, if we just sit by and we keep our heads down and we let this shit happen, it's only going to get worse. It is only going to get worse. So fuck this, fuck that, fuck them. Do not give up.
Hear it from Coach. Yes, taking me to church. It's not even Sunday. But I appreciate you beyond belief because, again, you inspire me to be my whole self and bring my whole self. You bring this energy. Again, I cannot say it enough that you are absolutely legendary, my friend. And
Oh,
we're not
thank
even like friends at this point. We're family because
you.
you embody this wholesome spirit that brings your whole self to every single thing and gives zero fucks if anybody doesn't like it.
I don't have
You.
any fucks left to give. I'm out.
Hey, you know what? I, as Jody Messina says, my give a damn has busted. That is Jody Messina, I believe, that said that. I could be wrong on that, but I think it's Jody Messina. She's a country music artist, but I don't listen to a lot of country. But just the way that she said that, my give a damn's busted. And that, oh, yes. But you know what? I have zero fucks to give too. And, you know, I think going forward with these podcast episodes, I want to do more that are like this. Like, we talk about these serious issues, but we also have fun with it because if we don't have fun, this shit's going to drive us up a wall. And that's the reality of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I be on social media talking shit. That's why I laugh. That's why I tell jokes. That's
You
why
got
I'm
to.
playful. Because we have to at the same time that we're literally fighting for our rights and we're fighting for our life. Like we got to find enjoyment somewhere. And one thing I'm never going to let the orange Kanks McGee take away from me is my joy. I'm never going to let him take away the joy that I carry around in my heart and in my soul for the things that I do for myself, but most importantly, the things that I do for other people and how I help other people. That is never going to be taken away from me. That joy is never going to be taken away from me. And though a lot of us childhood trauma survivors, childhood abuse survivors, are reliving our childhood trauma right now with who we have in the government, we're being re-traumatized. This is what re-traumatization looks like. Don't let them take your shine away from you. Don't let them take your joy away from you. Don't let them take that gleam in your eye away from you. Don't let them take your power away from you, because at the end of the day, they can't get power if you don't give it to them.
Exactly,
That's for
100%.
any abuser in your life. That doesn't matter if it's the president of the United States, or if it's your dad or your mom or your cousin or your aunt or your boss or your coworker or your friend or your significant other. That applies to every single person. Don't let them take the very thing away from you that they're seeking out to take, and that's your hope and your joy. Fuck that,
Yes.
fuck this, fuck them.
Yes. I feel like it needs to be a graphic.
Yeah.
I feel like
FT,
that needs to be turned into a
FT, FT,
graphic.
FT, FT, three times.
Yes. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You take care of yourself, and I will talk to you very soon, okay?
Thank you for having me. I love you.
Right
All
back at you.
right.
Thank you.
We did it.